Blog Talk Radio. family. How's everybody doing out there? I'm hoping that you can hear me nice and clearly. Feel free to text me. Let me know if I am audible. How audible am I? So, happy first day of spring. Happy spring. Happy spring. If y'all hear a lot of background noise, y'all know my husband is a DJ Supreme. So, he's working on some things right now. So, if you hear any extra music, that's what that is. But I am here, happy and jolly, to present to you episode 86 of the Black Alice in Wonderland radio show. I am your host, Queen Amina, and I look forward to presenting this information to you all every week so that we can become empowered and emboldened, and we can walk and live in truth and light. And sometimes we can also think outside the box. You know what I mean? A lot of the stuff that we're seeing going on around the world right now, very, very interesting. But, you know, I always like to take another view at it. You know, I really have never been one to just suck up and swallow whatever the news wants to purport, because I learned a long time ago, thank you to John Cooper, for his wonderful work, Behold a Pale Horse, a very, very fierce book. Unfortunately, he was murdered. He was a CIA operative. He had a lot of connections with the government and all types of things, and he was well aware of what was really happening, quote unquote, behind the curtain. So within his book, Behold a Pale Horse, there is a part called The Protocols of Zion. It's several pages that deal with the so-called Protocols of Zion, which are the Zionists that are currently attempting to, of course, totally take over Israel and other parts of the world in the name of Judaism. But as I mentioned in other episodes, not every single Jew is a Zionist, okay? So in that part of the book where we're talking about the Protocols of Zion, one of the things that stood out to me the most was when I saw they basically stated that they planned to take over the world through brute force and make-believe, and that they were going to have control of every single outlet that most of us engage in. So entertainment, the news, sports, politics, all these areas, the law, medicine, all these things, they were going to make sure they had their talons in so that they would be able to give the narrative that they wanted to give, and they could control everything and everyone under such a dynamic. So that was written in the late 1700s, and it has played itself out quite well in our everyday lives ever since. And so I like to shed light on that because I do know most people are not familiar with the Protocols of Zion. Most people are not familiar with the Zionist movement and what it actually means and what they're actually trying to do and many of the things that they have done. So I say this to say that when we watch the news, and I talk about this often, I don't mean to be a broken record, but I talk about this often because when we watch the news, we're seeing a play. We're watching a show. We may not necessarily be getting a truth, if you feel where I'm coming from. Yes, you can see with your own eyes different things that are going on, but when it comes down to the underlying factors as to why those things are actually happening, many of us are lost. Many of us do not know. And so we just take the word of the commentator or the news network or the newspaper, if you will, whether it's the New York Times or, you know, the Washington Post, whatever. You know, you believe those stories. And so what I've decided to do and what I've been doing is to go behind the curtain, dig down deep, try to come up sweet with information that would be truthful. So last week, and I want to give a shout-out first. Let me give a shout-out to all the beautiful Aries out there. Blessings, blessings, love and light to all the Aries. I also want to give a shout-out to my girl, Barbara Tucker. Her birthday was the other day. She's a Pisces, but that's okay. She can't help it. But bless her, and may she have many more wonderful, powerful birthdays. I want to give a happy birthday shout-out to Aisha Myers. I want to give a shout-out to my cousin Raquel. I want to give a shout-out to cousin Dexter. I definitely want to give a super califragilistic shout-out to cousin Vicky. All these are Aries I'm talking about. All these people I'm mentioning are Aries, okay? Real talk. Brother Kaleem Shabazz, DJ Kaleem Shabazz. And as we move forward, you know, my girl Mary of Mary's Hands Jewelry, she's an Aries also. That's why she creates some of the most amazing jewelry you're ever, ever going to see and you're going to want and you're going to wear. Honey, what? Who else? There's some other Aries out there. But me, myself, I am an Aries, and tomorrow is my solar return. So I'm very excited because tomorrow is my birthday, and I'm a spring baby, and I'm a happy spring baby. I love the flowers and the birds, and the birds were chirping so loud this morning. It was so beautiful. You know, we live up here in the country, so, you know, it's just a symphony of birds. It's a cacophony of birds. You hear all different types of birds, including some geese even. You know, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. Ducks, everything is up here, child. So I just want to give a super shout out to spring. I love springtime, and not just because it's my birthday, but because it's a new regeneration of life on the planet in the Northern Hemisphere, and we're going to see soon flowers are going to be budding, and, you know, everything's going to happen. It's going to be so pretty. So I'm very, very excited, and I'm also excited to make another year around the sun. Very, very grateful for that. So, as I go in tonight, and I'm going to be winging it a little bit, only because I wanted to, all right, Doc. Dr. Winborn's going to join me shortly. But I wanted to speak about what we're seeing and or not seeing with the unfortunate and, you know, devastating war in Ukraine, whether you want to call it a war, whether you want to call it a conflict, whatever. But we all know that Russia has been invading this country for a very long time, which has me a little bit miffed, because please believe, if I was a Ukrainian and I know that Russia's tanks are at all my borders, I might be fitting to go. Okay, and this is from like a year ago, 2 years ago. I might have been like, okay, I'm leaving. Why would I stay somewhere that's about to be war-torn? I don't want to do that. That's just me. I'm speaking for myself. But I'm just saying, if I know that the fire is coming, I'm not sticking around to wait for it. And, you know, maybe one would say that I don't have allegiance to my country or whatever. No, I have allegiance to my life. And what we've been witnessing with regards to people who, you know, have decided to stay and try to fight and da-da-da-da-da, unfortunately, it's not really working out that well for them. So there's a lot of propaganda around this conflict. And what's interesting, I love, where is it, babe? Okay. My beautiful husband. It's not behind the TV? Okay, great. All right. Okay. Sorry. Train of thought. But my husband's trying to find the phone so he can hear the show. But I just feel that if you know it's coming, I mean, I'm watching people getting shot in the street. You know, they're out, they're running around, they're trying to protest, but you don't have on a bulletproof vest. You got on a down jacket. You don't have weapons of your own. There are times, I think, when wisdom has to come into play. We've got to think. You got to think. I commend, you know, all the people who were able to try to, you know, to get out. A lot of people did leave. Something about over 10 million people at this point have fled. You know, bless them, bless everybody. But it just bugs me out a little bit about the ones that are continuing to stay and act like it's business as usual. When the fire is coming, I don't see that. I don't see that being wise, even if you are, you know, a Ukrainian to the death or whatever. Your life is important. Life is important, isn't it? Okay. So I'm saying that as well as we have not seen, nor have we really heard, aside from Sister Tiffany Cross on The Cross Connection on MSNBC on Sunday morning when most of us are not up, she's the only one that has spoken about what has happened with the African students and persons of different cultures in Ukraine trying to flee. So I was able to watch a lot of different interviews with students. Some of them were there still trapped in bunkers underground. Some of them, you know, may even be dead by now, you know, God forbid. But I'm serious because the way that they were trapped, they were running out of food, they were running out of water, they had no power, it was freezing. It didn't lend itself to survival, if you get my drift. I'm praying that they were able to get out. Other students that were able to get out of bunkers and get out of other areas and make it to the border, they faced gross, substantial racism. And this is not being reported. I have an issue with it. This is not being reported. You have over 10,000 African students that were attending universities in Ukraine, whether it was undergraduate studies or for medical school, dental school, things like that. You had over 10,000, well over 10,000 African students. Over 7,500 were from Nigeria by itself. And so when they tried to leave and they were on their way, whether they were in a car, some of them were in a car, they were asked to get out of the car. They were snatched out of the vehicles by Ukrainian soldiers who are what? Who are also white nationalists. And so the statement or the comments about white nationalists and racist white supremacist groups in Ukraine is not propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. It is not propaganda. It is real. It is true. I have seen it with my own eyes. I have seen it. I did a lot of research, and I saw when Vice Television went into Ukraine several times, and in one episode, they were actually, you know, speaking heavily about the white nationalists and the white supremacy that exists in Ukraine. So that's supposed to be all hushy-hushy, quiet, and nobody wants to have that conversation. Why not? Because when these students were dragged off of buses, dragged off of trains, a lot of them weren't even allowed to get on the train. Some of them, they weren't allowed to get onto trains or buses until all the white Ukrainians had already gotten on board. And they're left standing there in the cold. They're left standing there for hours on end, freezing, as they too are running for their lives. So why is this not being reported? Why is this not being mentioned? How is it that all day, damn near 24 hours a day, we are watching the war? We're watching this conflict 24 hours a day. As soon as I turn on MSNBC, it's all you see. Same thing with Fox, same thing with NBC, ABC, CBS, all these other networks, whatever, okay? But if you go to Al Jazeera Network, they'll tell you about the racist white supremacists of Ukraine. Vice will talk about the white racist supremacists of Ukraine. There are other news factions that will break it down and let you know what's really going on over there and what has been going on over there in terms of a white nationalist, white supremacist agenda. It's huge. It's almost as if Ukraine is one of the European capitals for white supremacy. Who knew? So when they have all these festivals, these white nationalist festivals, where they're touting all of the swastikas and other Nazi emblems and rhetoric and all of the individuals from like Adam Waffen and other organizations come into Ukraine to train on how to take over your country as a white nationalist. This is real, y'all. So when you hear Vladimir Putin, who I'm not really a fan of, but I'm just saying, when you hear him talk about racism and white supremacy, he's not lying. That is not Putin propaganda. That is true. And so what I'm sort of seeing, and I'm getting a little tired of it, but I'm seeing this, like, this huge whitewash across all the media networks and outlets, and that everybody is supposed to now, and I'm not condoning war, and I'm not saying that what is happening there is not devastating and is not a catastrophe. Yes, it's horrible. It's terrible. But at the same time, where is this type of coverage when we're dealing with Somalia? Where is this type of coverage when we're dealing with white missionaries invading the Democratic Republic of Congo? Where's the coverage, okay, on even in Afghanistan? Right now, as I speak, there are huge conflicts and craziness going on in Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia, Ethiopia, right now, as I speak. Is that coming across the TV? Are we supposed to be giving our money? You know, does a little thing come across the bottom of the screen talking about donate to the Red Cross here so we can help the children in Somalia? Oh, we want to help the women and children in Ethiopia. Do you even hear about it? But Ukraine, oh, we're all just supposed to be totally excited and just, you know, crying and heartfelt and what have you. And I'm not trying to say that you can't have compassion for people in a wartime situation. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that I'm seeing a gross misrepresentation of different conflicts going on in the world based on skin color. Yes, I said it. Because all I'm seeing are white men, white women, white children who are, you know, in peril, in trouble, blah, 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 blah. And yes, it's terrible. But at the same time, when the same thing happens in Africa, meanwhile, you know how many coups America has supported in Africa? I'm going to play something. And I'm saying all this for a reason. I want to share that what we get is not always what's really happening. And what we get is whitewash. But when it comes to Africa, everybody always wants to think, oh, the Africans can't get themselves together. Oh, they're so corrupt. Oh, they're so this, they're so that. Meanwhile, do you not realize that they get infiltrated by European and American factions that pit them against each other, which cause the tribal wars? Okay, and then while the people are fighting, what do? Come in, snatch resources, destabilize the government, and then say, oh, they can't manage it themselves, blah, 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 blah. Really? Really? So I want you to listen to this. I hope you can hear it clearly. But the title of this video says, war is war. Either we fight back or not, but it's war. And this is dealing with different countries in Africa and what they've had to deal with in terms of fighting for their own people and being assassinated, being destabilized, and being taken advantage of by the Western world. All right, check it out.
What is it that African leaders haven't done anything about this deplorable situation? Well, let me tell you, my brother and sister, they have tried. Documented to this day, 22 coups where leaders were assassinated. France has something to do with it. The first seven, when they decided they were pulling out of the CFA and that they're going to bring their own money, they were assassinated. Every time an African leader has tried to do what's best for their country, they were assassinated. Majority of them aided by France. It's a known fact. And then others, they were just mercenaries who felt that when there was a natural resource discovered in one country, they wanted to create a coup. So while the country is thrown into a civil war, they're siphoning the natural resource. We know of one particular story that had we not known about it, it would have been, oh, there we go again, the Africans. In about 25 years ago, a group of young, rich, white kids were having fun in Cape Town. They found out that there was oil in Equatorial Guinea that just been discovered, and they wanted it. So they set out a plan to have a coup in Equatorial Guinea. So while the Guineans are busy fighting a civil war, they will be siphoning the oil. But they made one mistake. There were two planes. One was to leave South Africa, stop in Zimbabwe, pick up more ammunition on their way to hunt in Equatorial Guinea. Another plane was taking off in the Caribbean that had this puppet diaspora who was supposed to be the next president. Mugabe wondered why such young people needed such powerful ammunition to go hunt in Equatorial Guinea. In doing his research further, he found out that this was a coup in the making. He allowed them to land in Zimbabwe. They loaded their plane, and just before takeoff, they were all arrested. The ringleader of that group was none other than the son of the former Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Margaret Thatcher. She had to fly to Zimbabwe and paid handsomely to get her son out. The last one of those prisoners left Zimbabwe about 6-7 years ago. Had these young people succeeded, it would have been another coup. There you go, the Africans again. Such, my brothers and sisters, is the story of your Africa. They don't do coups anymore. They simply create instability. So when you hear of an instability in an African country, ask yourself, what is really going on? Because what they are telling you is really going on is just a shiny object.
I hope that y'all were able to hear that. I hope that y'all were able to hear that, because that was a powerful, powerful excerpt from a speech given in Africa. And this is what we're dealing with, that they come in and destabilize, take over, take the minerals and the resources, blah, 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 blah. This has been going on forever. 22 or 27 coups have happened in this way. And that one of the most recent ones was in Equatorial Guinea, which was spearheaded by the son of the former Prime Minister of England, Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher's son and his little friends were attempting to extract oil and cause major drama and probably hurt people, kill people. Really, this is how they do it, y'all. But we don't get that, right? We don't hear about that. You know, we don't hear about that. So while we are continuously drowning in this Ukrainian situation, it seems as if there's no other news to report anywhere. There's nothing else going on anywhere, in any state, in any country, nowhere around the world. There's nothing else to talk about. So that's heavy. Yay. So that's heavy. The only news that we have is Ukraine, when you know that there's other things going on in the world. Okay? We've got that basketball sister, I can't remember her name right now, the one, she's being detained in Russia. This is huge. They said she's being detained in Russia on drug trafficking. Meanwhile, they found no drugs. They found residue on paraphernalia, but they didn't find, like, actual drugs. They didn't find any, like, half an ounce. They didn't find a dime bag. They didn't find nothing. But yet and still, she's being detained. The time has truly come for those of us who are melanin dominant to take back our thrones. I am very serious. I always talk about, you know, knowing who you are, you know, excuse me, obtaining and having knowledge of self, reading, researching, buying books, forming book clubs, sharing information with each other, going to lectures or listening to lectures and symposiums online, whether it's on YouTube or Patreon or whatever. Like, we have got to, we got to hunker down and get it together. And I know that the Reverend always talks about economic empowerment, and I'm not anti-economic empowerment at all. This is very, very crucial. It's very important for us to have economic empowerment. How else are we going to be able to do the things that we need to do? However, I also see and have seen historically that when we do a lot and include them in it, it winds up falling apart. And when I say them, I mean people who are not melanin dominant. Melanin, we would say they were melanin recessive. Okay, they're not brown and they're not chocolatey. They're not copper colored. They don't have the pigmentation that we have. And so the wild part is that the people who are pigmented on the planet are the original human beings on the planet. Again, the Caucasoid, quote-unquote, pale-skinned, quote-unquote, melanin-recessive individual does not appear on planet Earth until about 10,000 years ago. Meanwhile, melanin-dominant people have been thriving around this globe for well over 300,000 years and greater. So I keep saying it's as if your great-great-grandchild, who is ignorant, who does not possess the gifts, who is a little slow, who hasn't mastered, their emotions and how to control themselves. Nope, haven't mastered that at all. That is who wants to be in control of your family. Would you let that be? Would you let your, let's say, 14-year-old great-granddaughter run your estate? Would you do that? No. But that's the world right now. We can see it quite clearly. And so even when we're looking at this Ukrainian conflict, war, whatever, not only are we looking at white-on-white crime, yet again, I'm taking that from Whoopi Goldberg, but we're looking at the behavior of melanin-recessive people against their own people, people who look just like them. Because as far as I'm concerned, okay, yeah, I was born and raised in New York, love New York, it's wonderful. However, I'm an earthling as far as I'm concerned. I don't really have a tight, you know, connection that I'm going to fight for and die for in terms of a state or even country to a certain extent. I know that I am, quote-unquote, American. I was born here. But am I going to fight for this nation? No, not necessarily. I more than likely fight for my own people who look like me. Sorry. Because it has already been proven, it has already been seen, it is quite self-evident that the larger establishment of this particular nation doesn't really give that much of a damn about us anyway. So why am I fighting for this nation? No, I'm going to fight for my brothers and sisters who look like me around the world. I'm a Pan-Africanist. It's time for us to come together and to be one on that accord. Because Uncle Sam ain't done nobody no favors. Check. He ain't my uncle anyway. Check. It gets to be a little ridiculous. Even redundant to a certain extent that we want to, how would I say, be so connected to something that despises you. Why would you want to have such allegiance to something that continuously tears you down, won't even give you a fair shake? That's interesting to me. So going across the pond and I'm looking at the Ukrainian situation with the Russians, these are the same people. These are the same people fighting over what? Yes, I know Putin is carrying on, so on and so forth. But the fact that Putin even exists is interesting to me. Because Lord knows They can take out anybody they want whenever they want to. Our government, NATO even, they could take out whoever they want to take out. But yet and still, oh, we let him rock. Why? Then I'm looking at the farmers and the situation with the farmers in Ukraine. Apparently, a lot of the grain and natural food sources that are distributed around the world, a lot of them come from Ukraine. So you've got reports talking about, oh, if, you know, with the war going on and so on and so forth, and if the farmers can't, you know, produce the grain and so on and so forth, then we're going to have worldwide hunger. Excuse me? I don't know who I need to get to, but I need to talk to somebody, because how is it that you have billions of acres of land all around this beautiful globe, and we're relying on one and two different countries to get specific things? I learned this when I was a young girl. Back in the day, United Fruit, which was a American corporation, was so heinous and horrible against Jamaica, all of the West Indies, and all the way into Central and South America when it came to fruit, pineapples, bananas, papayas, guava, all these beautiful fruit, mango, you know, they wanted to control it all. And so they then cut off different Caribbean and Central American and South American nations from being able to export their fruit. Even right now, if you're in IET, if you're in Haiti or in Jamaica or Trinidad and Tobago, and they have fruit, they got mango just hanging on the trees and stuff. The locals eat the food, but they can't export those fruits and vegetables for commerce because the big fish said so. I heard that there's a large, tomatoes that a lot of tomatoes that Europe gets, they get them from Ukraine. Why is it that tomatoes ain't growing every other places either? Tomatoes can grow in Italy. I know tomatoes do grow in Italy, along with grapes and olives and all kinds of wonderful things. Same thing in Greece. Why is it that everything has to be, you got to be cut off? You might have it, but you can't export it. That's how the nations remain impoverished, because they have a product that they're forbidden to export. What is that? Honestly, family, what is that? You want to talk about global domination and control? You want to talk about how we can have famine in the world because you won't even let the people who can grow what they're growing export it, even if it's rice? This is where everything gets messed up. And so what we're seeing playing out with Ukraine is a microcosm of what happens in terms of geopolitics and control. Like, just take that as a small example, but you can spread that to other parts of the world, and that's what we see happening. And therefore, it is no wonder that people are starving, even though rice is plentiful in their country, but they can't export it. They can't get it out to other people who are hungry. Really? And so while we continue to watch Ukraine fall to Russia, although it was once a part of Russia, or it was a part of the USSR, excuse me, and the Soviet Union, what we're dealing with is a bit insane. It is. It's a bit much. And what I'm seeing is, again, the entire truth is not being reported. The entire truth is not being reported, and that's frightening. So I urge you to seek other sources, honestly, for news, okay? Go to Al Jazeera. Let me see. Veritas is very good. There are a lot of other networks that you can watch online, and then the ill part about it is that Then you go back to mainstream media, and the mainstream media says that those particular news outlets are spouting disinformation and misinformation. Really? No, they're telling you the truth. I told y'all last week, look up Azov, A-Z-O-V, all capital letters. That they are members of the Ukrainian army. Those are the members of the army that wouldn't let the African students get to the borders that they're trying to get to. Or if they did get there, they made it more perilous for them. Imagine being thrown off of a bus at 2 in the morning and someone pointing to Poland and telling you there's Poland walk. When you had a warm seat on the bus, when you had a seat on the train, they made the train free so everybody could leave, but you can't get on the train because you're black. There are accounts of soldiers putting their guns in these students' faces, talking about no blacks, no blacks, like the blacks can't cross the border. There are stories of male African students being detained in Ukraine in order to fight in the war for Ukraine. I mean, they ain't Ukrainian? Are y'all following me? Imagine being a foreign exchange student in that country, and then all of a sudden that country won't let you leave and tell you that you have to leave. I mean, you have to fight on behalf of the country when you're not a citizen of that country. This is what is happening. And nobody on the news is saying it, including Joy Reid, who is African-American, including others. They're not saying a word about it. And the only person that said anything about it in the past 2.5 weeks was Tiffany Cross on The Cross Connection on MSNBC on Sunday morning. Nobody else is having this conversation. But yet, we still have thousands of African students who are trapped and starving and cold. We can't even figure out how to get them money, how to get them food. We can't get them anything. Their own countries are trying to make negotiations to get them out. A few days ago, I know that they tried to open up a friendly corridor where they were able to bring in food and water and what have you into some of the towns where people were trapped inside because the Russians ain't playing. They're not messing around. And we keep seeing and hearing things about how the Russians aren't doing well and, you know, Putin didn't really get his way and blah, blah, blah. You think that this man who's a military strategist does not have time? He'll drag it out. So everyone's trying to get in his head and think about what he wants to do next. You can't get into his head. He's continuing to advance and do the things that he does, which, like I said a little earlier, has me a bit miffed as to how he's still breathing. No offense. Because y'all take out whoever you want whenever you want. The way they took out Osama bin Laden, the way they took out Saddam Hussein, the way they found these people, even the general in Iran, okay, the airstrike on his convoy, blew him up in the car, I believe. But yet, nothing when it comes to this one. So it must not be that important to you, America. It must not be all that deep to you, NATO, if you're not interested in trying to take him out, because that would make sense. And I'm not trying to condone violence and war and death. I'm not trying to do that. But I'm just saying it's a little odd to me that this man continues to make speeches and what have you, okay? He's got a lot of support from people within his country. Yes, he's a propagandist. We understand that. But at the same time, so is America. So is America. So I'm saying all this to say that we have to sort of pan back a little bit and really look at it for what it's worth. We have to really try to take a look at what's going on, and we have to realize that, yeah, we're dealing with some whitewash. We're dealing with, you know, because like I said, if you can have weeks on end, 24-hour commentary, and yet nobody wants to talk about these African students. Nobody even wants to talk about the Indian or Asian students, because there are a lot of students of other ethnicities that were attending universities in Ukraine. But nobody wants to have that conversation, and all we see is white people every day. All we see are white people and white women and white children to the point where they're starting to look alike. No offense. But we're being smothered in that. And I'm like, why? I don't need blow-by-blow coverage of it. Maybe somebody else does, but I don't. Maybe you could have a Ukrainian channel and they could just, you know, broadcast that on their own and they'd be all right. But as for the rest of us, first of all, this is the United States. We have other news going on. We have other things happening. It was almost a refreshing break this afternoon when they wanted to talk about the incoming Supreme Court justice. Give me a minute. Kajani Brown Jackson. Judge Kajani Brown Jackson, okay, she's a candidate for Supreme Court. And you know they're having a fit over that. Because not only just because she's a woman, oh, Lord have mercy, but she is a deeply melanated sister, honey, okay? And I guess maybe, you know, she has a white husband. I do know that much. I was like, darn it. But what was interesting, and I'm not trying to sound racist when I say things like that, but what's interesting is that they're going on and on and on about her appointment and whether or not she will, you know, make a good Supreme Court justice. And the Republicans, of course, are having the hardest time ever. Their panties are in a bunch across the board to the point where they almost want to frame it like she's an irresponsible judge and she lets people who have been convicted dealing with watching or dealing with child pornography, like she gives them a pass, so to speak, you know, all these types of things that they want to say. Meanwhile, she really has more, what's the word I want to say? So it's my tongue. I hate when that happens. But she's got more under her belt in dealing with the law than most of the other Supreme Court justices. As far as I'm concerned, they should just let her come on in. Because after Brett Kavanaugh, that fiasco, that individual, after that mess, child, please, let the sister come in. It's experience, that's the word I'm looking for. She has more experience than most of the other Supreme Court justices altogether. Okay, so we're having a heart attack because she's black. They're having a fit because she's just, you know, they're like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm like, what's the problem? Okay, because you got Justice Sotomayor in there, which is great. So, okay, bring the sister in. Let's go. I don't think she'll do a poor job, and I don't think that she could do worse than what we've already seen, if you really want to know. But it was refreshing to actually see something different on the news today. I was like, oh, we've got something else other than this situation in Ukraine. I was like, wow, okay, thank you. So it's important for us to stay aware, okay, and know what we're dealing with when we're looking at what we're looking at. Like, just really try to understand what you're dealing with when you're looking at it, y'all. Because you're seeing some things that are not, they're not telling the entire story. They're not telling the whole truth. And I'm seeing bumper stickers. I'm seeing marquees, you know, at different churches and schools. Oh, pray for Ukraine and God bless Ukraine and help Ukraine and blah, 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 blah. And like I said, I'm looking for a bumper sticker that says help Somalia. I'm looking for a sign on the back of a truck that says help Ethiopia. I'm looking for that, you know, but I guess I'm going to keep looking because the world isn't interested in that. And the powers that be have painted the picture that it's got to be Ukraine. It's all about Ukraine. It's all about Ukraine. It's all about Zelensky. It's all about Putin. It's all about that. It's all about them. And I'm like, no, it's not, because there's other stuff going on. Sorry about what you're dealing with, but there's other stuff going on in the world. And that, too, needs to be reported. I told you about some of the images that we had seen on the news that were actually fake. They were bringing up footage from Afghanistan. They were bringing up footage from other countries, not even relevant to the Ukrainian situation. But yet and still, the propaganda has to show something, okay? Same thing with when they had that tank rolling down the street that I think it hit a couple of parked cars, and they said, oh, the Russians are just, you know, taking control of the streets and they're everywhere. Oh, my goodness. That wasn't even a Russian tank. That was a Ukrainian tank. Okay? When you see, when you're looking for the Russian tanks, look for that Z, that white Z that's on there. And I'm looking into more of what that is as well, because that seems to be everywhere. And I saw it also in a news report where Maria Butina, the chick that I talked about last week that was at the Trump rally, and she became a, she was a spy, a Russian spy. She infiltrated the NRA and what have you. She and some friends had on these black T-shirts with that big white Z on it. That's Russia. It's a Russian thing, if you will. And I'm going to have more for you on that next week, because I want to look into that as well. Because I'm like, it just kind of struck me. I'm like, that doesn't look normal. Something's a little strange, but okay. You know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to seem out of context when I'm speaking about this, but I'm having issues with the fact that I said, like I said, they're not reporting anything about Azov. They're not reporting anything about those Ukrainian soldiers who are actually white nationalists, and that's why they were acting that way towards the African students and the Indian students and the Asian students. I heard a report where they would separate them at the border, and they would put the Asians went first, the Indians went second, and the Africans went last. Why? Meanwhile, these students are putting money into your economy in your country because they're living in your country, matriculating at universities in your country, and they're paying rent, they're going out to eat, they're doing different things, they're buying clothes for, in your country, supporting your economy. But yet and still, you treat them like animals, putting guns in their faces, threatening them, making them walk over 10 kilometers in the dark, in the freezing cold. Like, I really hope that at the end of the day, I mean, who knows what's going to happen and if Ukraine will continue to be a nation state or not, but I really hope that the leaders of the African nations where these students come from will really file reports against how these students were treated. Because it just boils me. It gets me so uptight when I hear about it. And I'm seeing video after video of some wonderful young bright mind, you know, hiding and shivering and quivering and praying to God that they get out alive. Or even the ones that were able to cross the border and yet and still they were treated so horribly. And they're treated horribly by Ukrainian soldiers. That's intense, y'all. That's deep. That's real deep. So think about it. Don't lose sight of that. Okay, I know the majority of my listening audience is melanin dominant. Think about that. And think about what it is that you may need to do on your own so that you can be better educated and you'll have more knowledge of self and you'll be able to put together different plans that will enable you to not only stand strong and stand tall, but like I said, for us to take our power back, take our thrones back. I wish we could take the crown jewels back. All the jewels in the crown of Queen Elizabeth are from Africa. They're stolen. The ruby, the sapphire, the emerald, the diamond, all of them stolen from Africa. Also know that there is a quest to return African artifacts to their nations of origin. So Benin statues and reliefs and things that were done, especially around the time of from the 1700s, 1600s, a lot of that artwork is sitting in the Museum of London. Okay, as well as Germany, as well as, France. Okay? The Louvre in France is huge. A lot of African stuff in there. So it's time for us to take some things back, fam. You know, and you've got the Nigerian government petitioning the London Museum to return their artifacts. And what I thought was kind of stank was when some of the London art historians had the unmitigated gall to suggest that the African nations would not appreciate their own artwork, nor know the value of it, and treat it accordingly. You hear the audacity. Your nation created these beautiful, amazing works of art, and now you want to take it back because you're stable enough to do so. You've got beautiful buildings, and you can have a museum, and you can put your work that has been stolen back into your own museums, and they have the audacity to say, oh, well, will they take care of it? Will they understand what they really have? What? This is what we're dealing with, y'all. So I am pleased that these African nations do want to take their artifacts back. I'm very happy about that. And I do see an awakening in Africa, despite the coups, despite the many assassinations. I definitely see some positive changes happening in the motherland, and I pray that we will continue to move in the direction of success and light and achievement, because it's time. Earlier today, and some of you may be familiar with it, I watched a video of a Jewish Sephardic family outside, and the young boy had on blackface, and he was dressed up almost like a Moor. I do not know why they were dressed that way or what was going on, but the person who took the post was very upset. She was very irate. She was a sister. She was really ticked off. And she took it as them making fun of us. Now, who knows if he was getting ready to do some ceremony or whatever, because they know their origin as well. They know that, again, the original Jew is a melanin dominant human being from North Africa. I will continue to say Israel itself, where Israel sits on the most northern tectonic plate of Africa. I myself have been to Israel. At the time, it was the early 80s, and probably late 70s. Anyway, all I know, I was a young girl at the time, and I went with my family. We were there for about 2 weeks, and it was interesting because, you know, they had soldiers, and they were training the young children to fight, and children my age carried an M16 in their knapsack along with their books on their way to school, and I thought that was very profound. But saw people who looked like me and darker. Those were most of the people that were there. Now, this was a while ago, so now when you go back to Israel, it's very pale because they have come in to take over, and they ostracize the original Nubian melanin-dominant Jewish person. They ostracize them. You're hard-pressed to even see them. Now, a lot of them live in the center, and they don't really even get out, because when they do get out, they're beaten up, they're accosted by Israeli police, all kinds of things are happening to them. Some of them are often mistaken for Palestinians. There's nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with Palestinians, but when it comes to this whole Israel as a nation thing, you know, we're talking about the Ashkenazi Jews. And I always thought it was interesting that the last four letters of that word are Nazi. The Ashkenazi Jew who comes from Eastern Europe, nowhere near Israel, nowhere near Africa, nowhere near any of that, nowhere near the equator. Let's go there. So again, pale-skinned individuals have come in to dominate, to steal and acculturate our own culture, which was the original Judaism. So then Judaism becomes like, oh, you're Jewish. No, I'm not Jewish, because even Judaism comes from Judah, the Lion of Judah, the tribe of Judah, the 12 tribes of Judah. Hello? But yet and still, it's the pale-skinned Ashkenazi Jew that is in control. And it's also the pale-skinned Zionist that's in control. I hope y'all are following me, because it gets thick. It gets very thick. Even the original Roman, the original Greco individual, person from Greece, were all Nubian, dark-skinned people. All of them. Where Carthage was full of beautiful melanin-dominant people. Hannibal was not a pale-skinned individual. Hannibal was a melanin-dominant man. Hannibal Barcus, okay, who fought in the Punic Wars, okay, a melanin-dominant man. So our history gets stolen and it gets usurped and turned into something else, and next thing you know, there's a white face in front of it. The first Caesar of Rome was a melanin-dominant man. Like, the origins of these places are African, okay, Nubian, even Kemetan, but they're melanin dominant. And that just gets lost. So until, and the world, are ready for truth, because they've purported so many lies over the centuries that the lies have turned themselves into truths and make it look like it's all cute and cozy. Oh, that's true. That's not true at all. We have over 5 melanin-dominant presidents, over 5. We have even more in first ladies who are actually, quote-unquote, Black or African or copper-colored even. When you look up American in certain dictionaries, it says Native copper-colored people. It doesn't say nothing about Yankee Doodle Dandy. It ain't got nothing red, white, and blue in there. Okay? I saw Doc. I hope he comes back because I have a question. But, there are so many lies that have been purported. And our history has been stolen, like George M. James has stated in his wonderful book, Stolen Legacy. And we don't know, so we'll believe the lie. You know, you got some folk out here, you know, melanin-dominant people who believe Hannibal was white. Hannibal wasn't white. Sheesh, you got people out here, my husband and I were talking about Christianity the other day, and I was saying, you know, how contrived it was, and how, okay, it can be a world religion, quote unquote, but it wasn't true. It's an amalgamation of a whole bunch of different stories, but it wasn't true. So in my brain, if it wasn't true, then it can't really be a faith if it wasn't true. There was no man called Jesus. It never existed. Yes, you had a man named Yeshua, and yes, you had other melanin-dominant individuals who were doing beautiful, wonderful things during that time. and trying to get human beings to live upright and righteously. But all that just goes out the window by the time you get the creation of the Roman Catholic Church. Because unless these other churches and these quote-unquote Baptists and all the Pentecostal and all of that, unless y'all are studying the Ethiopian Coptic Christianity, then you're wrong. You're wrong. But yet everybody is, you know, engrossed in what we would call Christianity and Jesus is my Savior and so on and so forth. And I'm like, if y'all even read the Gospels, like he always, even as an individual, Yahshua always said, don't worship me. You're supposed to become me. And so my mother and I had this very in-depth conversation years ago before she had passed. And I was saying, do you realize that if you continue to just be Christian and just believe that Jesus is your Savior and you want to celebrate and salute this man who died on a cross supposedly for you, that you are never going to become a Christ yourself, which we're all supposed to do. We're all supposed to be coming into higher levels of consciousness, which is what a Christos is. So if we're all supposed to be coming into these higher levels of consciousness, how is it that every single Sunday, if you go to church every Sunday, and some of y'all go on Tuesdays and Thursdays too, but if you're going to church all the time and you're repeating the same thing over and over and over again, every year, same thing, over and over again, where is the evolution in that? Where is the supreme growth in that? Where is the enlightenment, the supreme enlightenment that should come in that? How can you ever become this supremely enlightened entity if you are worshiping something else? And what's interesting is, again, the whole thing about idol worship and all this other kind of stuff, it's prevalent in Christianity. So there's a contradiction somewhere, wouldn't you say? And I was raised Christian, got into lots of trouble because I had a million questions and nobody could answer for me correctly. But the truth still remains that if the supreme creator of the entire universe is what they call God, goddess, raw energy, how is it then in the year supposedly 0-100, hello, we're supposed to get, or the year one, we're supposed to get a savior called Jesus Christ when there was no such human being as Jesus Christ? There was no such entity. Even individuals who state that Moses was not Moses and that Moses was actually Akhenaten, because Akhenaten is the father of monotheism. That is the first entity in Kemet, in North Africa, to state there's really one supreme creator and all these other things are aspects of it. But no, we get taught that Egypt is the devil, Egypt is bad, Egypt is wicked. Really? When Kemet is the basis and the foundation for every major religion on the planet? That's intense to me. Yay, Doc, you're back. Okay, wait. Let me open up your line. 73640, 97364. Oh, Alamo, are you with me?
Yeah, Alamo is with you. Peace.
All right,
quick.
Now, I saw you come and go. I know you're a busy individual.
Yeah, I'll be trying to multitask, you know.
All right, that's all right. That's all right. How are you this week, sir?
I am blessed and highly favored. I've been multitasking. And just for the record, some people have asked how we have been dealing with death in the family again.
Oh no!
We're adjusting, and that's why I had to drop off the call because the service is on tomorrow, so everybody's calling the last minute stuff. But
I'm so sorry. Who passed, Doc?
Well, about a month ago, my cousin passed. About last last week, her daughter passed.
Oh, man.
So it was almost like, you know, I guess the heartbreak.
Yeah, that happens. You know that happens.
Was too much for the child and or the daughter.
Wow.
And who was, you know, had some health issues. But
mm-hmm,
I guess
mm-hmm.
that, you know, no need to fight anymore. I'm going to hang out with mommy.
Wow.
So,
listen, we already know, right, in this age, in this time that we're in, is a lot going to be happening, and there are going to be a lot of souls that will be, you know, returning home. That a lot of that was even par for the course, if you will, for this new age that we're in.
Right.
You know? But blessings to your family. My deepest condolences to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, so where we at?
Well, I was just talking about how the war in Ukraine seems to be the only thing on television these days in the news. Nothing else in the news is going on except for that. And then all of a sudden today, you know, they wanted to talk about the new incoming justice, Judge Kajani Brown Jackson. You know, that's like the most recent thing. But the past 3 weeks has just been nothing but Ukraine. And then I was like, wow, okay, so nothing but Ukraine, but yet and still you haven't seen anything on the African students and what they've had to deal with in terms of trying to get out of Ukraine. You didn't see that at all. All you just see is white women, white babies.
You know what else we're not seeing?
Hmm.
We're not seeing COVID. Putin cured COVID.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely not seeing COVID. Ain't one mask on over there. Ain't nobody got a mask on.
And it ain't even on the news no more. It's not even on our news anymore.
Come on.
They're not even talking about it. The media's not talking about it. Every now and then, if it was a print, if it was print press, the COVID now would be on page 5 or 6, something like that.
Right, so it went from the front page to the back of the paper.
To the back of the paper. It's sitting over there next to the obituaries now.
See? Mm-mm. Meanwhile, there was supposed to be some new strand that was supposed to be happening, some new strain, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, poof, you don't hear nothing about it.
We don't hear anything about it. But what we are hearing about is this war. We're hearing about Ukraine. And you're right. We're not hearing anything else about the black students and African students. But what's been going on, they themselves have been putting out videos.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
As to the conditions. So that's how we've been finding out about it, because it's been showing up, it's been popping up on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook.
TikTok, yep.
And
yep, I watched so many of them. I was like, wow, okay.
Right. So,
you know,
again,
because
boy, it's not a little bit. You know, it's not a little bit. It's not like they did that to one or two students. I've seen hundreds of black students. You know what I mean?
Yes, because there's thousands of them that are there. There's over 7,500 Nigerian students. There's like maybe 2,000, 3,000 Kenyan students. Like, they're from all over, Ghana, South Africa. Like, hello?
And look, here's the deal. From what I understand, they was putting the white people's pets on the train before they put the black people.
Yes, I saw that. Yep. They let the white people take their dogs and cats, but wouldn't let the Africans get on the train.
Right.
That's heavy. And then, like I said, the ones that they would snatch out the car, there was one where they were driving, and they got out the car to stretch their legs because they had been driving for over 4 hours, and they got out the car to stretch their legs, and they a car of not even soldiers, like regular Ukrainian people, rolled up on them, pointed guns at them, and told them if they're not on their way in 5 minutes, they were going to be killing them. Like, don't stay. You can't rest here. And so, again, the misnomer around the white nationalists of Ukraine is not being reported at all. There's not anybody talking about it.
Right.
They're not talking about Azov. They're not talking about any of it. And I'm like,
no.
I think there's a big part. That's a huge part.
Right, that is a huge part. You know, because even in the middle of their war, they still got this attitude against black people. So I'm like, well, look, I don't like neither one of y'all. I don't like Russia, and right now I ain't like Ukraine. So y'all on your own. I ain't not worrying myself about this
right
on my.
Exactly. You know, and we're not trying to sound cold. We're not trying to sound callous. But as I mentioned before, we don't get this level of concentration. We don't get this level of reporting. We don't get this level of humanitarian crisis when it comes to African nations in peril. You don't get it at all. And so
right.
I went into how right now Ethiopia, Somalia, Yemen, and Afghanistan are four countries that are catching hell right now. And ain't nobody talking about it. They're not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you know what I mean? Like, we don't hear anything about that. Even when the Somalian crisis first happened in Mogadishu and all of that, we did not have day after day after day after day after day coverage.
Like
it would come on as a little, you know, a moment in the news, and then everything else is still being talked about. This is 24/7. Every network across the board, 24/7. And today, they took a break to talk about Justice Kajani Jackson and whether or not she's fit to be a Supreme Court justice and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, the Republicans are going to bring up the fact that she seemed lenient against child pornographer offenders. That's all they got.
Really? That's all they got? You know, that boy they confirmed, you know, was accused of rape, right?
Yes. Okay. Okay. So, as he stood there taking the oath, what a cold saw on his lips. Just have to say that because I peeped that when that had happened. And I was like, that's a cold sore, you know, which is herpes. Anyway, yeah. All right. Right. They want to take her through the ringer when that one had at least, what, four women?
Right.
That came out, four to seven that came out against him. The main one was the woman that they put on trial, and they were horrible with her. They were horrible to her. But he made it. He is a SCOTUS. I was like, wow. You know what I mean?
And I hear Clarence Thomas was rushed to the hospital.
Was he? Oh,
yeah.
Lord. Mm. Okay. What done happened? That's interesting. Oh, I'm like, hold up. Do we know why? Do we have any
flu-like symptoms?
Oh. Now, remember last week, right, when I was talking about the Pfizer report?
Yeah.
And that it was, the original report is like over 15,000 pages long, and then the FDA tried to suppress it, but the judge overruled it and said, no, you better come out with the entire thing by July. And they released the first 38 pages, and on page 30 starts the list of the 1,200 side effects.
Mm.
1,200. I keep going back to it and reading it because I get completely shocked. I'm just like, wow. How could they allow something like that to exist, if you will? I say, whoa and whoa again. Like, that was so heavy to me, you know? I was like, oh, wait a minute. And I was reading them, like I was reading all of them, and I was like, this is just nauseating and frightening at the same damn time. I don't even, like, this is terrible. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. It was, no. Very bad. Very, very bad. Couldn't believe it. Like, it was really almost incredible to read. But I sent it to you, didn't I?
Yes.
If not, I'm sending it right now.
I think, yeah, you did send it. I read it.
Okay.
Send it again.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Because I've told people the whole time, I'm like, listen, we are the trial. We're the clinical trial.
Right.
And
yep.
You need to know that in marketing, right, anytime that they are paying you to try something,
mm-hmm.
like they was doing with this vaccine,
mm-hmm.
you the product, not the vaccine.
Yep.
You.
Seriously.
You the product.
1,200 side effects. We ain't talking about 9 or 10 or even 20. 1,200.
You can even fit that in one of those little slick commercials.
The no, you can't. Right. Dizziness, nausea. I was like,
hours.
Whoa. And it's amazing. The list is real. It's frightening when you look at it because I was like, wow. Every type of encephalitis, every type of acute whatever is on there. Everything acute. The A section, just in the A's because it's alphabetical. Baby. I was like, oh, no. It's crazy.
Wow.
And so it's a waiting game now. It's a waiting game as to seeing how this thing is going to manifest in people's bodies. And let us not forget that the mRNA crap will alter your DNA. And they were lying about that in the beginning. Oh, no, it's just called mRNA because it's not going to have any effect on your DNA or your RNA structure. Yes, it does.
I'm like, well, why would they call it that?
Exactly.
To me, I've heard people say that. My first question is, then why would they call it that?
Come on. It's called the mRNA vaccine. Why would you call it that?
We know what mm-hmm. it stands for, mitochondria.
Hello.
do you really think we're stupid?
Yeah, and apparently some folks are. A lot of folks actually are. You know, I mean, and that's the wildness of it, because some people really are. You know, and I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna berate anybody that took it because your job tells you you had to take it or whatever. But I just want people to really look in the mirror and, like, my life is my – what's more important, my job or my life? That's deep to me, that you be bullied into putting an unknown substance into your body, and now this thing is walling, this thing is loose. And they're lifting the mandates anyway.
Right.
My
right.
girlfriend went to dinner last night in Manhattan at City Winery downtown, right on the Hudson River. And I asked her, I said, do you still have to present your vaccine passport or whatever, your vaccine papers to dine? She was like, no. You done made everybody go out. You Frankensteined everybody, made everybody go out and get this thing, and now you don't even need it?
Right, because the work has been done.
Yes, hasn't it, though? Come on.
The work has been done now. All right, so now it's like, let's wait. It's well, we're in wait mode. We're in watch mode. Let's wait and see. Now,
right.
You know what I mean? I saw that come. Okay, so they kind of like, all right, well, we got who we could get. Now let's
right.
just see.
Exactly. I'm like, whoa, that's intense to me. And then apparently, and I'm using that in quotation marks, China and South Korea have been experiencing a rise in COVID cases. Now, this bugs me out. China, as you very well know, is a communist nation. So they made everybody and their grandmother get a shot. Why are you having spikes? Again, I'm going back to 5G because there's something about that thing that is way too similar to what they call COVID. The symptoms are the same. Everything is the same. And it comes out of the blue. To me, I'm like, I don't know if it really even has to do with, like, contact with other people. It's like it seems to come out of the blue. And they will always call it a wave. Whenever it would come, it would rise up. Oh, the next wave is going to be even greater.
And so you know what's so funny, and I think that I've mentioned this before on the program, and that is I thought that
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking up.
I'm breaking up?
Yeah. Did you move your location?
Is that a little better?
Yes, it is.
All right. Certain day, I feel attacked. Well, oh.
Oh, your connection is not good, Doc. We're not getting what you're saying.
What about now? Is that any better?
Okay, yes, there you go. Can you repeat your statement?
Okay. What I was saying is that during the peak, I know
oh, yeah,
that
much better.
There was times when it seemed like there was COVID attacks. From the hours of between 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., I noticed that I was fighting off having shortness of breath. I would fight off these weird headaches that was like a brain freeze headache. You know how you eat the icy and you eat it too fast, it's cold, and you had that brain freeze? That type of headache, I found myself fighting those off. And it was almost that every day during a certain time, something was released into the atmosphere, it seemed like to me. Now, that being said, it could have been, you know, 5G radio frequencies.
Yep.
It could be a number of things. However, me being the ghetto scientist that I am, I started charting when I was feeling those waves and writing it down. And so I recognized that there was a pattern, that every morning from between the time of 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., I would have these attacks. And I'll never forget, I was in the street one day, and the attacks started coming like really, really heavy. It was about 11 o'clock. I was out in the street and I was in the hood.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
I was in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it seemed like the air in the hood was being sucked up. I'm like, why?
See?
What is going on? I started getting paranoid. I'm trying to breathe.
Right.
I mean, I'm kiki ha ha now, but I left where I was at to get to a different area.
I hear you.
To see if I could breathe easier, and I did.
Mm-hmm.
When I left that area, I got to another area. The breathing was easier. And I'm like, what kind of attack? But I've been telling people they've been trying to kill us for years. They've been dropping these chemtrails for years.
Oh, yeah.
They've been trying to get rid of us. Mm-hmm. So we just need to be aware. We need to understand that this is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. This is not something that's happening to come in the future. It's happening to us now as we speak.
Been bombarded with the chemtrails now for years with the chemtrails.
Right.
I've been studying those for years.
You're right. I've been watching chemtrails since 2010.
Right.
It's 2022 now. That's how long I've been watching chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
I was in North Carolina. And so I'm like, what in the world is that? How come that smoke from the airplane is not dissipating? Like
how come it didn't go away? It just got wider. Like it's like that spray foam. It just gets wider and wider, and then they just connect to each other until the whole sky is just white.
Right, and I didn't.
It was a beautiful sunny day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden they spray in some stuff, and now all of a sudden we can't see the blue sky anymore.
Right.
I'm like, whoa. Mind you, of course, things like bronchitis, asthma, all those things have uptick in the past 20 years, 15, 20 years. It's been ridiculous. But
so
of late, it's even higher.
To people that think about the technology and stuff that we see happening now, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there are, that now we know we can go to a concert now and see Michael Jackson, right?
Right, on stage.
Right, on stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, live, in living color. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, jackets and gloves and all. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, we are talking to each other through
mm-hmm.
our watches and all kind of stuff now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the technology that we are presently experiencing, the authorities have had it for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want you to listen carefully.
Or two.
The authorities have had it for years. So I'm saying all of that to say that there's plenty of technology out there that will blow your mind that they've got that you know absolutely nothing about.
Right. Yep.
Things that seem strange, they doing it every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. Remember, I think you remember when you and I had talked about those portable, microwavable disbursement things that the Army came up with, where they use radiation to beam into people to make them disperse in a crowd.
You're right, 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 right.
They literally, well, the atoms inside of the body begin to heat up and they just run in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other day, the movie, The Kingsman, the first one, the one with Samuel Jackson was on. I don't know if you've seen this movie or not. Have you?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, you got to check it out.
I know of it, but I haven't.
Samuel Jackson is basically like a billionaire with a lisp. It's hilarious. And he has created a SIM card that when you put it into your phone, he can activate it, and then it makes people begin to fight and go crazy and kill each other. All he has to do is turn up the frequency, and if you have this SIM card in your phone, you're going to kill whoever's next to you.
Right.
And they use satellite trajectory and everything to make it happen, to make it work. And so, of course, the Kingsmen are like, you know, these undercover spies that have to go and break up the machine and stop him from moving forward with this agenda. Now, what's ill about it to me was, like I said, it's about a frequency that comes through the phone that makes people then into, like, barbarians and crazy people. But it's a frequency, though.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that there are various frequencies that can be dialed up that can control people's behavior. We know this.
Right.
So when I saw it in the movie, I was like, wow, you know. And I saw the movie before anyway, but they had just put it on again. And I was like, wow, why are you airing this again? But it's so possible. Again, what you just stated about the levels of technology that exist that the average American or human, period, has no knowledge of.
Right, none.
And Lord knows you can always fall victim to something that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You're not forewarned. You don't have any inclination about anything. So, you know, all right, whatever. What we're dealing with right now, like even we talked about this before, weather manipulation and what have you. They were using weather manipulation in Vietnam. They thought that if they increased the rainfall, that the Viet Cong would just fall back. But they were like, whatever, we live in the jungle, so if it rains, it rains. If it doesn't, it doesn't. We're still going to bust you behind.
Right.
But it was wild that they were using weather manipulation in that war.
Right.
Here we are. And they can dial up earthquakes. They can dial up whatever they want to dial up. And I keep trying to just educate people and let them know. You know, I was, you know, my other nickname is Black Chicken Little because it's like the sky is falling and nobody can see it. There's a handful of us that get this. There's a handful of us that know that this is what's happening. And everybody else is oblivious to it to the point where when we do bring it up, they're like, oh, you're crazy. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, that's not true. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, you fool. Love you though I may, but you're a fool.
Because
you don't know, and you should. It would behoove you to. You can't just see people spraying these big white lines across your sky. All of a sudden it's cloudy. All of a sudden the weather just changes drastically. And you don't have a question about that? You know, no query at all? It's just like, oh, this is what happens? This is not what happens. The other day, Doc, word is born, God is my witness. The other day, I was watching the program called Weird Weather on the Weather Channel. You know I'm a geek, so I'm watching science and stuff. They had Nibiru up there. They didn't say it was Nibiru. They said it was an anomaly. You had the sun, and then you had a little mini sun next to it. And they were like, well, what is that? Is that a glare off of the lens of the camera? What is that? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They would not say that, of course, it's Nibiru. They're not going to say that. But it's there. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's there. And so today I read an article about how the polar ice caps are heating up even more. Like over 40 degrees Celsius and just ridiculousness. And I'm like, yeah, that would be, to me, that would be Nibiru and company. Coming up from the south.
Mm-hmm.
Warming up Antarctica to the point where it doesn't make sense. I'm like, she's coming. She been coming. She's more visible now than ever. I've seen recent videos where you had one person, one camera phone, and they turned they turned their body around like in a circle, like just kept turning and turning and turning. There was at least four suns in this video.
From
out
the Earth?
The main, and then there were three little ones like orbs, but the way you could see them, it was clear.
The video was showing four suns around the Earth?
Yeah, around where the person was standing. The person was just outside.
Mm-hmm.
Outside in, I'm trying to remember what country they were in. It wasn't America. And they were, like, speaking in their native language, like you know, carrying on about it, like, oh, my God, what is this? What is this? Because you could just see them. You see these lights, you know, behind clouds, but they're bright, bright, like suns, you know, and that's... Nibiru has many satellites that are coming with it. So those things are becoming more evident in the sky in different parts of the world, especially in the south, especially in, like, Peru. Like, South America gets it, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa. You know, the bottom is getting it. The bottom is seeing it. And it's deep. Because that, too, nobody wants to have a conversation about. They want to say, oh, it's global warming. I don't believe that anymore. I feel like it's just Nibiru coming closer. It's heating up. The closer it gets, it just heats things up. It just makes us get warmer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? and family, when I say Nibiru, Nibiru is also called... The planet of the crossing, Nibiru is called Planet X. Nibiru is called Wormwood in the Bible. So I can give you some validity as to this particular planetary system that comes from deep space, but it's real. And that's something else that is just, of course, not being chatted about. There's no discussion about that at all.
None.
They don't want to talk about that one. Oh, hell no. I know they don't. But I'm saying even amongst those of us esoteric, quote-unquote, you know, out-of-the-box kind of thinkers and, you know what I mean, even what we do, you know, there's not a lot of us that know what it is either. I can bring it up in certain circles, and they don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm like, are you aware of Nibiru? And they're like, what? They don't have any idea. Meanwhile, I can also have the same conversation.
You will get.
Say again?
What you will get is Anunnaki.
Mm-hmm.
You might have something that could deal with a conversation about the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start dealing with Tiamat, and Nibiru,
mm-hmm.
Inky in the Nail,
mm-hmm.
You're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose people.
Right.
You're going to lose people. Because the educational system just is not there for that info, that data, which is really unfortunate, because if people understood the Sumerian texts on the order for which you and I speak about them.
Yes, yes.
It would make so many more things make sense.
It really,
you know,
would. Wouldn't it clarify a lot?
It would clarify so much. You would have an epiphany every half hour. You'd be like, oh my God. You know what I mean?
Right.
Every half hour, you'd be like, Paul in the book of Corinthians, the 51st chapter, in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, you shall be changed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
For the immortality. Why? Because you will awaken. In everything you see around you, you will begin to say, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are living in the Matrix. We are.
Come on.
Living in the Matrix, I'm starting to believe we're living in assimilation. Because there's too many things that's going wrong. There's too many malfunctionings that's happening. That makes you say, wait a minute.
Right.
It's getting to the point now where we can no longer deny stuff like clones.
Right. I don't deny them.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's like
clones, reptilians.
As far-fetched as that may sound, there's too much evidence.
Way too much.
That this stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's deep.
It is.
You know,
deep.
And that's the world, you know, that
you know
I'm in.
What about that?
Most people are not.
You overwhelmed with the information. But if you don't look into it, there's like zero information. This is the furthest thing from the truth. It is the furthest thing from most people's reality. But then if you look into it, you are bombarded with data. You're bombarded with info, with supporting information of these particular, you know, things that we're talking about. You know, the Anunnaki, Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are coming
mm-hmm.
out. I mean, when we talk about the Nephilim, we're finding more and more and more of these big giants, bones, skeletons.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, aren't they amazing, too? Oh, my word. Like, the huge skeletons are off the chain when I see them. And all you got to do is Google them, like we talk about. You know, you can see them. They also have videos on YouTube with them, with the archaeologists at the digs and stuff. One of them was so, so big that you could lay down in the forehead of it.
Right, right.
A human man.
The head
feet,
is big as my body.
Right. Could lay down inside of the forehead.
Right.
I was like, work. I mean, they're amazing. I mean, we're talking about up to 36 feet.
Right.
Tall. Hominid, human, hominid, you know, hello.
Right.
That's deep. And I've seen them. I'm like, whoop, all right, hello. And they have them. Even the guy in the Midwest that had the bones, remember, in the femur bone was like as tall as like a 10-foot doorway?
Mm-hmm.
Not the femur bone, excuse me. I think it was a tibia, the shin bone.
So you know what that's like?
As tall as a doorway, as a regular doorway, like 8 feet, 10 feet.
And a car. You heard him talk about the Battle of Anakar in Iraq?
Yeah.
So they say they captured a giant.
Come on.
In that battle. They captured.
Come on.
More than one. Okay.
Right. More than one. More than one.
Able to kill one. Bring it back. And so they claim they have proof of living giants right now. Not in the past. Not digging up no Nephilim bones. They're saying they're right there right now.
Really? Living. Oh, that's exciting.
They said that one giant, I think, by himself killed, I think, 17 soldiers or something like that.
Holy frijoles.
Before they was able to bring him down.
You got to send me that. You got to send me some on that. You got to send me some goodies on that, Doc.
Yeah, the giant of Anakar in Iraq. The Iraqis, our American soldiers, they talk about it. They wasn't brought them back. Yeah.
See, this is one of the primary reasons why I believe they invaded Iraq in the first place.
Mm.
There were several things. There were the ziggurats, you know, those big multi-dimensional pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
They were sent to protect them. They were sent to guard them. I'm like, what are you guarding a ziggurat for? Like, there's other stuff going on. Why are you in the desert guarding a ziggurat? And then there was also a spaceship that crashed into the mountain.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And they were trying to investigate that. Wow. Okay. Now, you said of Anakar. How do I spell that? Andakar? A-N-D-A-K-A-R?
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't know. Don't ask me.
Oh, yeah, I'm right. The Giants of Andakar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Like, hold up. Wait a minute now. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah, I'm gonna look into that one. For real.
Yeah. Because
that's current. You know, that's current. And Wild as it seems, I could believe that.
Yeah. Right. Well, you see, they talk right there. They talk about the military, right?
The what?
The military and the giants are in the car.
Okay. I'm going to that now. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. And family, I hope y'all are listening and you're taking notes and you're Googling like I am. Because this is what we're dealing with, and people don't want to have these conversations, but this is real stuff.
Right.
You know, this is real stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Khandar giant, the cryptid allegedly slain by U.S. Special Forces. Uh-oh. Oh, dang. all right, dagnabbit. Yeah, I'm going to look into this a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yes, stuff I like am. Okie dokie. Dagnabbit.
So it confirms a lot of the ancient teachings.
Yes.
That
yes.
came out of the Sumerian text. A reference to these individuals, you know, from planet Nibiru and the inhabitants that came here to build a labor force, mind you, to work.
Yes. Yep.
To take the gold out of our resources back to their planet. And they created this labor force to replace the Aegeans. And I think that's why we have certain groups of us that is hell-bent on just ripping all of the resources out of the planet. Because that's
Come
what
on.
They were created to do.
Oh, yeah, but especially the gold. Don't forget, they need the gold in order to keep their atmosphere up.
Right, that's what
mm-hmm.
I think about it. And others, because mm-hmm. it wasn't just gold, but gold was the main one because they wanted to take it back, like you said, and put it in the atmosphere for Planet X, so for Nibiru. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's why they come, you know, they come around. But, you know, if you study the Sumerian text, when they came the first time, they brought the Aegean peoples with them, who were the labor force.
Mm-hmm.
And the Aegeans, I don't remember now, they died out or quit or something.
Well, remember they got mad because they didn't like the climate. Remember the day on Earth? The day was long and it was hot. And they were like, we didn't really sign up for this. And so that's when you had mutiny because they told Enlil, like, we don't want to do this no more.
Right.
We're tired. We're not doing this anymore. And they were like, uh-oh. And he was like, I have to figure something out, or my father's going to kill me.
Right.
And that Enki was like, Enki and Ninhursag were like, or Ninti, they were like, oh, well, let's just make someone.
We can, like, make it for us.
Right. We can just fashion a being based on our DNA, okay, mixed with the entity that was already here, which we would call a hominid, or we could possibly call Homo erectus. Because like we always say, the journey or the timeline between Homo erectus and Homo sapien is very, very short, much shorter than any other evolution between a species of human. That was like lightning. All of a sudden, Homo erectus became sapien, aware of itself, aware of a higher force of energy. You know, everything from compassion, love, all these different things became heightened in the Homo sapien compared to the Homo erectus. And they always want to talk about a missing link. In my mind, that is the missing link. That occurrence, that manipulation of the hominid's DNA with the Anunnaki DNA to make them into a sapien entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because then after that, Enki is the one that loved them so much, and Enlil couldn't stand them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we always make that joke, you and I and others in the conscious community, about how God couldn't stand you. Remember, Enki's name became Diabal.
Right.
After Enlil was so upset about what had happened when Enki began to breed with them, quote unquote. They were having sex with them. They were multiplying. And something that was supposed to be this lowly thing that was just supposed to take orders had consciousness. And Enki loved them so much that he would help them run away. And so that's when Enlil wages war on them to massacre a whole mess of them, and the rest that got away fled up into the mountains and what have you. But after that insurrection, if you will, that's when he was like, my name is no longer Enlil. My name, I think he named himself, well, that's when he named himself Gad. I'm just going back in the story as far as I can. And then he said, from this day on, my brothers shall be called Diabal, which becomes Diablo, which becomes the devil.
Devil, right.
And Gad becomes God.
Right.
And so the
and
spin of it is
battle of
go ahead.
the eagle and the dragon.
Right. Right.
Eagle and the dragon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, and it matches from what they say where we are today, with the eagle being the logo of the United States, and the
mm-hmm.
dragon symbol for most of the Asian Eastern,
mm-hmm. yes, yes,
countries. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So you still have that war that they say that started back with the Sumerians of the eagle and the dragon.
Right. Because remember, I was talking about this to my husband the other day about the Nagas and how Nagas becomes nigga and Sambo Judasia becomes little black Sambo. And the Nagas were the serpentine gods of wisdom of Asia. And serpentine meant snake-like, like the serpent.
Right. All the serpentine energy, the serpentine energy in going up your spine.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And all your chakras being lit up and spinning in the same direction. Right. And then you had Sambo Judasia, which was the name of God in Asia for a long time, who was an African man, a black man.
Right.
And that gives birth to the Buddhas. The Nagas give birth to the Buddhas. But even Sambo Judasia looks like a Buddha, with his legs crossed and his hair up, and his wonderful, you know, kinky curly hair up in a bun on top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. I'm like, the work that has been done to displace us from who we really are and what our attributes are and different things, even if it seemed like it was mythology or whatever, there was credence in that mythology. Just like the pantheon of Kemet, there was credence in that pantheon. And that is what became every religion in the world. Right, online, but it's not on the phone. Everybody's on the phone. They still got me. You understand what I'm saying? Thank you, baby. So that's intense. That's heavy. And they continue to pit us against each other and dangle carrots in our faces for money and fame. But none of that has anything to do with actualizing who we really are as an enlightened entity on this planet and being one of the most spiritual, connected entities on this earth. They don't want us to know that.
Right.
You know, they don't want us to know any of it. You know, that's why I always love when we have these conversations about Nibiru, about, and it was deep because I saw it on the Weather Channel, and I was like, would you look at that? I said, oh, wait a minute. So when, you know, they'll show us something, and it's like, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. You know what I mean? If you believe the rest of the rhetoric or whatever, okay. But if you know about it, you're like, wait a minute, hold up. Right, let me look into this because something's not right. You know, and I'm like right now, even I Googled that story you told me about, and I got, yeah, I see it, about the giant. That's big. Mm-hmm, the Kandahar giant. And that story, 13 feet tall. And he had six-fingered hands and lived in the mountains of Afghanistan and was killed in a cover-up by the United States government. I'm sending it to you.
Oh, well, that's in Iraq.
Right?
Yeah, Afghanistan.
Right. Afghanistan. But they're right there next to each other, so I dig it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It makes sense. It makes sense. It makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm like, whoa, you know. This is funny because these 2 hours went kind of quick today. It's 9:03, you know. And I'm really glad that that you were able to be on with me tonight, you know. I'm going to have to make it up to the Reverend next time if he was able to get on. But I hope my audience was able to definitely get some juicy tidbits and maybe we, you know, drop some cookie crumbs or pieces of popcorn to people to follow on a trail and go and do their own research. I always encourage you, family, to do your research. It's very, very important. Knowledge will always reign supreme, and that's why we're here. We're not here to get the bag, even though you can get the bag, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to evolve and become enlightened. So it's always a joy and a pleasure to be able to espouse this level of what some people call conspiracy theory or people call a myth, you know. But most myths are based on reality. They just don't want anybody to know. You know, so thanks again, Doc. And also I want to let the family know that pretty soon Doc is coming out with another book. It's going to be awesome. Stay tuned. Be ready for it, honey, because I know he's dropping jewels in it. Please support the Neo Nation Network. you know, you can go to myprojectneo.org and sign up, look at things and get involved and what have you. But each one teach one, each one reach one. We can no longer afford to be ignorant. We are amazing people. We are so powerful and beautiful, and we need to just live and walk and be in that light. Again, I'm excited because my solar return is tomorrow, and I'm happy to take another run around the sun. You know, I'm blessed and I'm grateful, and I wish everyone happiness and harmony and joy. Doc, you know, I always wish you love and light and all the best, and the grandbabies and everybody, just go ahead and shine. Everybody, do what you got to do. And God is willing, we will be back next week. Same Nubian time, same Nubian channel. You know, it's my joy to do this. Also, if you need some good music in your life, go to SoundCloud.com and look up DJ Pitch Control, PYTCHCONTROLL, and get your life, okay? I don't care if you're cleaning, driving, walking, working out, whatever you're doing. Even if you want to meditate or you're writing something, listen to some beautiful music that's good for your soul. It's all about feeling good and being in light, family. Again, it's time for us to take our thrones back. It's time for us to reclaim and be who we are. And rise up, not in a way where people will get hurt, but in a way where people will become enlightened, because we hold the light. We are the ones. We hold the light. Our DNA is the strongest on this planet. We are the nine ether. That's the highest ether that exists. That is the curl and the spiral of our hair is nine ether. We are so amazing. Even the triple stages of darkness that made the melanin in our bodies, we are amazing, and we're made in the image of the Creator. Everybody else is made in the image of us. So let's walk like that. Let's be that, and let's love each other, and let's get to a higher place and a better place and a better space. All right? Again, yes, I'm, you know, bless the people in Ukraine, but at, like I said in the beginning of the show, we're watching a very, very large exercise of white-on-white crime, and I'm not giving all my attention to it. You know, blessings upon them, but I'm not giving all my attention to it because there's other stuff going on in the world that's more important, okay? And we need to affix our energies to what's more important for us. And it doesn't mean that we're throwing shade to other people. We're just focusing on ourselves. And that's all we got to do is focus on ourselves. So whether that's economic empowerment, whether that's education, whether that's knowledge of self, whether that's just finding a beautiful partner that looks like you. Let's go. It's time. Okay? Their clock alarm has rang. It is over. The game is over. So ours, we will continue to be here. And so as long as they continue to want us to not be here, if they think that they can exist on a planet without us, they got another thing coming, Pumpkin. Another thing coming. Because we are the beginning and the end. We are the Alpha and the Omega. All right, family? So let's go shine. Let's live in truth and light. And, you know, help your neighbors, love the babies, protect each other, be good. All right? And love and light to everybody. And a super shout out again to all the Aries out there. It's our birthday! All right, all right, all right! All right, family. Peace and love. Ashe. Let's find some music for you. Gotta love it. Yes, you are. You're my living pumpkin. My living pumpkin. No, I don't. You hear my husband, right? Y'all hear my husband? Okay. I love him. He's the best. He's the best. You know, you gotta get a good black man in your life. All right, family. One love. Be good. Be good. Ashe.